Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Who Knew with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart, and our first guest this week is from Sans Pants Radio. It's Joel Zammit.
G'day, g'day. How are you?
Hey, g'day to you too, and how are you?
I'm all right. Doing all well for this beautiful January.
Oh, what afternoon. A beautiful, beautiful time of year it is, whenever you're listening.
Yeah.
And our second guest this week, also from Sans Pants Radio, it's Joel Dusha.
Whoa, battle of the Joels.
Yeah, it's a Joel off.
Thank you so much for having me, Matt. I agree, it is a beautiful January afternoon, and it is a beautiful time of year. And I'm just happy to be here, and as always, playing to win.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No fun, no laughs, right answers only.
Oh, no. I've come in with the opposite.
Okay, interesting. It'll be interesting to see which Joel tactic comes out on top.
I want
to
lose and have fun.
Well, you could both achieve your goals then today.
Yeah.
Last time you were both on, Jackson Bailey was also on. He beat you.
So floor with he really kicked down.
It was a massacre. So this is the best of the rest.
It wasn't even close. No. It wasn't even like, oh, and runner up. No. It was first place.
Yeah, daylight
these
second.
Idiots.
Yeah.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Jackson beat us so badly that he'd equaled the highest ever score on the podcast.
Yeah, that sounds right.
At that time.
Yeah, maybe still.
Yeah. And he's the dumb one.
Well, I guess not, to be honest. I think he knew the answer and tricked us to pick his.
Yeah.
Yeah. You asked him to come on today and we sent him off on a hike.
All right, so the way the show works is I ask a relatively obscure trivia question and our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one and I have to guess which one is correct. Okay, are we ready to play?
Oh, yeah, we are.
I also like that the odds are now in our favor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we've got one less question.
Oh, that's true.
Odds are A. Joel will win today.
Yeah. The house can win.
The house, of course, can win.
I'm not ruling it out.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, well, no matter who loses, a Joel wins. Yeah. But, well, maybe not.
It's Joel v. House.
Yes. All right, here's the first question. This one comes from listener Anna. Back in the olden days, what was a knock knobbler? Back in the olden days, what was a knock knobbler?
Thank you so much for the question.
Yeah, that's great. Okay.
And while the Joels are writing their answers, I'll explain how the scoring works. So you get 1 point if your fake answer is guessed by the other contestant, and another point if you correctly guess the answer. And by the way, as Dusha just said, I'm also playing as the house. I've put in two of my own fake answers for each question, and I get a point for each of those that our guests choose. So each of us can score up to 2 points per round. Seems fair, but the probability actually favours me. The house. And the house always wins. Though that is nearly never the case, to be honest. Anyway, our questions come from our great Patreon supporters. And if you want to submit a question, sign up on any level via patreon.com/dugongpod, linked in the show notes.
I'd just like to take this time to thank all of your beautiful patrons for subscribing, Matt. I think they're doing a braver job than I've ever done.
Yeah.
I think that's really sweet of you to say.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of guts. Took a lot of guts because mic, you don't talk that way about them.
No. I'm like, hey, Matt, how the do go on patrons? Eating shit? Yeah, good. I would never. I'm a big fan of everyone who's a fan of podcasting.
I respect
it as a medium.
I mean, that's a universal truth, though. Everyone respects podcasting as a medium.
Oh, yeah. Like, you wouldn't believe.
I don't lie to Uber drivers about what I do for a job at all.
There's no shame involved.
Not at all. When someone's like, what do you do for a living? I say I'm a business owner, and I leave it at that.
I certainly don't squirm. I say, what's a job?
Sometimes I say entertainment, but then my partner was just like, that just sounds like you're in porn. I'm like, yeah, that's much more respectable. Maybe I should start saying that.
I've actively had to stop myself from making like dating profiles in the past because when I put like when it's like what I do, I'm like, okay, I can either like my full time job is podcasting and the only other major hobby I have is I'm in a band. There is no like wasn't worth the time. No one is looking at that and being like, oh, that's no God. Red flag.
Is that a white male with a beard?
Does he have a podcast? And a band? Oh, it's stupid punk music? Oh, even better.
All right, here is question number one.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the olden days, what was a knock-knobler? Mm-hmm. Here are your five options. A device that would tap on windows at a preordained time to wake up nobles.
That rules.
The original name for knick-knocking. Oh. A person who worked for the church to eject unruly dogs and children.
Oh, that's good. I forgot that there's always going to be answers that I want to be true.
Yeah.
Someone who would steal the door knockers off wealthy houses. Or a bag of rocks that would sit in place of the family patriarch when they were unwell.
Bag of rocks.
There's a lot of good
serving the table. You're serving the table, like, and of course, a delicious meal for the bag of rocks.
Matt obviously knows the truth here, but the tricky one with this is none of these sound like us.
None of them also sound real, but they also all sound real. That's the problem. I want to lock in the church one.
The church one,
scaring the dogs.
Yeah,
scaring
the dogs, give the business to dogs.
And I'm gonna lock in the. Oh, no, the old-timey alarm clock is funny.
Oh, damn, that is good too.
But the bag of rocks!
The head of the table is a bag of rocks!
You know, bag of rocks.
Bag of rocks. Bag of rocks.
Right, Douche is locking in. Bag of rocks.
Can't even remember the second half of the question of the sentence. Yeah, can you just repeat that? I'm still locking it in, but can I just get a repeat of that?
A bag of rocks that would sit in place of the family patriarch when they were unwell.
Yep,
imagine being like, all right, dad's unwell. Maybe mum will be head of the table. No.
Grab the knock knobblers.
Grab the knock knobblers. Who was a scaring children? Children and dogs?
And dogs, yeah.
Oh, that rules. Let's lump them together.
Who wrote the answers? Okay. A device that would tap on windows at preordained times to wake up nobles. That was written by the house. Mm-hmm. Specifically Anna, the question writer. So that was a very...
Almost got me, Anna. Almost. Sneaky Anna. That's what
sneaky,
I call her.
Sneaky.
The original name for Nick Knocking, that was written by Dusha. Ah. Someone who would steal the door knockers off wealthy houses. That was Zamet. The Joels were...
On
knockers.
Knock and we're like, yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That means, I believe, one of you is correct.
Yeah.
A bag of rocks that would sit in place of the family patriarch when they were unwell. That was the house.
Oh,
God damn
it! It's so good! I'm so mad!
That means yours is right!
That's
the
true.
The correct answer is a person who worked for the church to eject unruly dogs and children.
That is also so good!
That's a knock-knobler.
Man, what a good job. Talking about like jobs to be proud of.
Yeah.
There are two great jobs in history, clearly. The knock-knobler and the groom of the stool.
The
groom of the stool who would be a little, like, little boy, basically, to be like, it was a really coveted position because that would be the person who would wipe the king's ass.
Oh, Matt's sweating because that was question two. Yeah. He's had to, like, cross it out from the recording.
Because people would be like, well, at least, you know, you got the king's ear for a good 15 minutes.
Well, his ass, anyway. You got the king's ass.
Sire, do you think you could perhaps pardon Mama and Dad for all the debt they owe? You spend over for a second. Thank you very much. Off we go.
All right, we're up to question number two. This one comes from Jim Bates from Sackett's Harbor in New York.
Sackett's Harbor. Great name.
And Jim Bates from New York.
Mm.
It's good stuff.
That is good stuff. And he's written a few of these kinds of questions in the past. I'm a big fan of his work with American sporting nicknames.
I
think that's his specialty, special category. Yeah. And his question is, what was the nickname of baseball player Gabby Hartnett? What was the nickname of baseball player Gabby Hartnett? And while you're writing your answers, here is some more info on knock-knobblers. There honestly doesn't seem to be a lot of information. To be honest, there's just a bunch. All the dictionary websites have a very similar short definition, like this one from Word Genius, which writes, this quirky name was given to Elizabethan-era workers tasked with chasing unruly dogs and children out of churches. So it's Elizabethan-era specifically, and that's what Anna wrote in the question.
Mm.
it was an Elizabethan era job.
Yeah.
I vagued it out to give you a bit more room to move.
Yeah, yeah. No,
to
that's
olden
bad.
Days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's smart. Mm-hmm. Elizabethan would have been way easier for Sahoma.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then bags of rocks in the Elizabethan times.
Damn. Imagine being a, like, yeah, cock nobbler.
What's it cock nobbler?
Not cobbler. Goblin boy. Whatever it is. And then realizing that, I guess, it's a job that no longer exists because...
Scarecrows?
Unruly children and... unruly children and dogs no longer hassle the clergy.
I don't think I've ever seen knock a dog nobbler? In a church.
What's it called again?
Knock nobbler.
Knock nobbler.
Here's question number two. What was the nickname of baseball player Gabby Hartnett? Gobby Gabby? Golden Hands, Old Tomato Face, The Heart Stopper, or Jacques Fellatio?
I hope it is Jacques Fellatio.
I mean, look, dreams sometimes do come true, but alas, I'm not sure that's going to happen right now.
Was there a date about this particular baseball player?
No date, but I think it was quite a while back.
Okay.
So
I can't imagine it's like a, you know, an announcement. And here on the pitch,
look,
Jacques Fellatio.
I can't help but notice stuff like this when we do little fun game show podcasts. There was two answers there that have a similar theme, which makes me think that they're both house.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know why I'm teaming up with you. I'm trying to destroy you and you're winning.
Which two do you think?
Well, we got Gobby and we got Fellatio.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, I reckon, yeah, those not two even could probably strike from the record.
Yeah. You didn't connect them. I'm always thinking.
Okay.
Wow.
Eyes are on the prize, and unfortunately today the prize was, I guess, blowjob themed dances.
Yeah. All right, so we so let's just strike blowjobs from the record there.
Yeah,
okay.
Can we
now
just-
we're left with the, is it Tomato Face?
Tomato Face, Golden Hands, and Heartstopper.
Right.
To me, I'm like, is it tomato?
Old Tomato Face.
Old Tomato Face sounds too stupid.
Yeah.
But also perfect. I'm going to lock it in.
Baseball's a tricky one because, and like well, NBA as yeah. well, like something like the Heartstopper or Golden Hands makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it could be that.
That's what I'm thinking.
Or it could be fucking Johnny...
Johnny Tomato Face.
Big Nuts Tomato Face, and everyone's chanting it for some reason.
Big Nuts Tomato Face that loves to get slopped off. He's taking the pitch. Hey, guys. Old Slop Nuts, here he is. He's hit a sixer.
I know that a lot of your audience would be based in both of these regions, but both the US and the UK at sporting events have insane chants. Both wildly long, but very different vibes. Yeah. Like, UK is always like... You're a fat piece of shit and we hate you. That's usually like a chant.
That's sung to an opera or something.
Yeah. Or sung to like an 80s post-punk song.
Slop Nuts.
Yeah, and then US is like, we're going to win. We're going to fight. And then Australia is just, woo! Boo!
Yeah, we're not very good at it.
Yeah, anytime someone tries to start like a long chant, everyone doesn't in the really crowd work. Turns on them and is like, I hate you.
I think they're just like the most basic offcuts from the UK and the US, I think. There's that one that goes something, something.
Something,
something. At the cricket, you get you are a wanker.
You're going home in the back of the divvy.
You fat bastard, you fat bastard. You ate all the pies.
Yeah. I haven't heard that one for a long time.
But I imagine we didn't come up with any of those.
Nah.
I'm sure they were like the, when Paul McCartney wrote some songs he didn't think were quite up to the Beatles and he'd give them to someone else.
Yeah.
I reckon those chants were written by English people. We're not going to use these.
Too uncouth for our game of football.
This is not quite up to a Leeds standard. what's Australia up to? Send them
that way. Yeah. Well, so Old Tomato Face?
Can I grab the answers again? Because I got distracted being silly.
Gobby Gabby, Golden Hands, Old Tomato Face, The Heartstopper, or Jacques Fellatio?
The two blowjob ones seem just Heartstopper makes the most sense, because it makes the most sense, it makes me go no.
I'm gonna go against my own rule here and lock in Gobby Gabby.
Okay.
Gobby Gabby. Maybe Gobby meant something different back then. Also, it's not Australian.
So you get gobbed off.
Yeah, it's chatty. I think it just means chatty.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You gobbing off, but that's also a UK thing, I think.
Yeah, gobby. Right.
No, like as in like gobbing off.
Yeah, but it was like
old... gobby is Australian. Well, it's like very specific Australian slang. Yeah. Like I reckon an age, if you're born in like a 3-year gap, you might use it.
Yeah.
I've just looked it up. Informal British.
Yeah.
A person tending to talk too loudly and in a blunt or opinionated way.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow that traveled to Australia and became head jobs.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I love culture.
Me too.
I really do.
Australia, well, like, you can sort of see how that happens.
Yeah.
Like,
he's what did it go from like gob job?
Off, gob job.
Look at them, you know.
Put this with, in your, yeah, gob job. Yeah.
Put that in your gob.
Yeah.
Gob job. Gobby.
So you're locking in Gobby Gabby?
I'm locking in Gobby Gabby.
And Zammit, you're sticking with old tomato face? Because you locked that in about 3 days ago.
Yeah. It just sounds great.
All right, here's who wrote the answers. Jacques Fallacia, that was the house.
What? Shock.
It was an option from last week's episode for a whole different thing that I liked. I liked it so much.
Jacques Fallacia is maybe the perfect name.
Yeah.
So,
then we had the Heartstopper. That was Dusha.
Ah.
Golden Hands. That was Zammit. So once again, one of you is correct.
Damn, that's insane to me that Gobby is on the table.
Gobby Gabby was also the house.
God damn it, I was right!
And Old Tomato Face was correct.
Hell yeah!
No!
That's so funny because I didn't even connect that together.
It straight away and then fell for my own stupid trick.
Jim Bates wrote that one, Gobby Gabby, and then someone else wrote Jacques Fallacia. I just grabbed it across and I didn't connect the two at all. I didn't see Gobby and think of the Australian version of it.
You're just thinking of flapping someone's gob, you know?
So that means after two rounds, the scores are on 0 points. It's Joel Dusha.
God damn it.
In the lead on 2 points, it's Zammit and the house.
Coming third in a two-person episode, rough. God damn it.
Hey, it's anyone's game.
So that means we're up to question number three. This one comes from Tyson from Colac.
Oh, good place.
And the question
That's
is...
That's a lie. It's a terrible place.
It's very boring.
I love Colac growing up. We used to stay at our friend's dairy farm just outside of Colac on a long weekend every year.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the best. I love
Colac.
So when I see Colac, I think happy thoughts.
I think of... a good friend who lived in a one-bedroom house there that had two bedrooms, but also this is a one-bedroom place because the second bedroom had a big hole in it, in the floor.
Yeah.
No one can live in the room, but you can live in the house.
Yeah, yeah. It was also an indoor-outdoor room.
It was also on the second story, I believe, and they put a rug over it, so you could feasibly fall through.
That's fun.
That's
great. You're halfway to having a Home Alone style
house. It's pretty fun. Hey, I didn't live there, so...
I would have put a trampoline on the ground floor below
just
it.
Just in case.
Had a bit of fun with it.
Yeah.
All right, so Tyson's question is, which of the following band names is the name of a real band?
So basically you've
just got to make up a fake band name. And obviously it's probably not going to be a dull name. It's going to be noteworthy for some reason and relatively obscure. Although, Douche, you do know a lot of obscure bands, so I'm hoping you don't know this one.
It'll be so funny. I'm like, actually, Matt, three of those band. Are real bands?
yeah. And I'm the bass player of that real one. While you're writing your answers, I'll let the audience know a bit more about Old Tomato Face. According to Jim, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1955. Gabby Hartnett is one of the best catchers in the history of baseball, playing for the Chicago Cubs 19 of his 20 seasons. Old Tomato Face finished with a .297 average.
Is that good?
Which I guess is good.
Okay. So he hits the ball 30% of the time.
Yes, what? I think that's it.
Is that good?
Well, you get.
So he bats 30%.
Because he had a few strikes then.
Yeah, three strikes before you're out, famously. Three strikes, I know this one.
That's where that comes from.
Yeah. Whoa, word. Epidemiologist?
Oh,
the history of words is etymology. It's crazy.
He also had 236 career home runs. He's also the catcher in the famous photos and footage of Babe Ruth calling the home run. You know, he points into the stand.
No.
Yeah.
Hartnett was behind him.
Whoa.
He was sort of like the jerker, the back on which Jezza jumped. Yeah.
Gotcha.
In the AFL equivalent.
Yeah. Okay.
Jezzalenko, you beauty,
yeah,
Mark.
Yeah.
Graham Jerker Jenkins was the one that the mark was taken on.
Just great that it's a Jerker is another nickname that also, well, it's not quite a gobby, but it's a gobby related.
Yeah, Jerker's a great nickname.
It's gobby adjacent.
Yeah.
According to
Jerker me on
Rip Baseball, His nickname, Old Tomato Face, came about because of his ruddy complexion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty...
Okay.
Pretty straightforward reason for that.
Okay. It's nice that, like, because all I'm thinking, what was the Australian celebrity that had something kind of similar? Bert Newton with old moon face.
Yeah.
It's good. It's just like, we look at your face, it's red. I got an idea. Look at your face, goddamn, it's round. I got an idea.
All right. So we're up to question number three. Which of the following band names is the name of a real band?
Okay.
The Bar, 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 Barbara, and Bar Band. The Jizz Jerks. Carrie O'Brien and the Contentious Issues, The Long Sprocket, or the Tony Danza Tap Dance Extravaganza.
Without giving anything away, there's two bands there that have names that are either, that are close to real bands, and I don't know which one is the real band.
I'm like, Tony Danza one I like, or the Bar 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 one. I'm going Bar Bar Bars.
All right, Bar Bar Bars, yeah. Zammit.
I'm going to lock in the Tony Danza
Tony
one.
Tony Danza. Yeah.
Bar 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 one make me laugh.
Because there is definitely a band, and I'm worried that this is what's catching me up, but I reckon that this band also exists. There's an Australian band called Ted Danson with Wolves, which is a great name. And I'm worried that that's where the Tony Danza thing's coming.
Who was Tony Danza? Was he in A Happy Day?
No, he's...
Never mind then.
Was he... who's the boss, maybe?
Isn't he... Oh, this is bad. One of us should definitely know this. Isn't Tony Danza Full House?
No, not Full House.
No, that's John Stamos.
That is John Stamos.
Or Bob's... Not Bob Saget.
No, Bob Saget is also in it. Yeah, they're both Full House.
Yeah, I mean, it is a Full House. Tony could be in there.
Yeah. And old mate from Canada, Alanis Morissette's ex.
Uncle Joey.
Yeah.
You Want to Know is about Uncle Joey.
Yeah.
The real man. Who's the boss? And Taxi was the...
All right, let's go through.
There's also a movie called Going Ape.
Oh, my God.
Must watch.
That's going on a list.
Tony Danza, like, is he, like, real short?
I don't know.
Okay.
I barely know who he is.
Look, I think we can all agree.
Does he live in Chicago?
Yeah. It's a short Chicago guy, all right?
Okay. All right.
Under a lot of pressure here. Yeah.
So The Long Sprocket, that was written by Zammit. Where'd you get that from?
I think I knew a band called like Sprocket on the Rocks. I've been thinking of sprockets recently. I don't know why.
Fair enough.
Sprocket's a fun word.
It's a fun word to say.
It's a fun word. Yeah. Carrie O'Brien and the Contentious Issues, that was the house. That was a friend when I used to work at a supermarket. We used to make up band names. The Jizz Jerks, that was Dusha.
I wrote so many answers where I realized I was then writing a real band and had to was like, I was like, oh, this sounds all right. No, that's a real band.
I wouldn't have known.
This means once again, one of you is correct.
Damn.
The Bar 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 Baran Bar Band, that was the house, Tyson in particular, meaning the correct answer
Thank God!
Tony Danza Tap Dance Extravaganza.
But do you know what this means? Do you know who's now winning?
Oh, yeah.
The house? Oh, no.
Divide and conquer. Quick score update. Dusha on one, Zammit on two, but out in front, it's the house on three.
We have not guessed each other's once or even considered it.
No.
The closest I got was The Long Sprockets or whatever you said. And then I was like, that's similar to a real band name. Yeah. And then I was like, No, that's not real.
All right, we're up to question number four. This one is by Carolyn Ruck from Collingswood in New Jersey. What was notable about Samuel J. Seymour, who died in 1956?
That's when Melbourne hosted the Olympics.
That's right.
What other things happened in the 56?
And I said Carolyn. It's Caroline Ruck wrote this one. And while you're writing your answers, here's a little bit more information about the band. According to Tyson, the Tony Danza Tap Dance Extravaganza were an American grindcore/deathcore/mathcore band who were active from 2004 to 2012 and released four albums. The self-titled first album, Danza 2, Electric Boogaloo, Danza 3, A Series of Unfortunate Events, and Danza 4, The Alpha, The Omega. Their namesake, Tony Danza's real name, is Anthony Salvatore Iadanza, and he was a boxer before becoming an actor in the 80s in films like Going Ape, Angels in the Outfield, a classic baseball film, the TV series Taxi, and Who's the Boss, as well as a TV movie called The Garbage Picking Field Goal Kicking Philadelphia Phenomenon. Holy shit.
What a name.
Holy shit, that's good stuff. According to Wiki, their humorous moniker is occasionally misinterpreted, as older concertgoers have attended shows in the hopes of seeing Danza himself.
Yeah, that would
imagine how confusing and disappointing that would be. But who's going to a concert to see
Tony? Who's seeing Tony Danza? I guess he's got fans.
But then also, are they thinking he's going to be tap dancing?
I guess.
Like, within 2 seconds of the band hitting the stage, a sound check would simply give away what's about to happen.
What if you're like, what if he's coming on next song?
I guess.
What if he's going to tap dance the next song?
I reckon I've actually heard this band based on that description. Because I've dabbled. I've dabbled in those genres before. But yeah, their set probably would have gone for 10 minutes max. Mm. Probably would have been able to squeeze in 12 to 15 songs in that 10 minutes.
And like maybe 2 to 3 tap dancings.
And any of the elderly concert goers would have left deeply upset, I would imagine. And not just disappointed, upset.
Maybe it would have awakened something in them. Maybe this is my new jam.
Maybe.
All right, while you're still writing your answers, let's go for a quick break.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Okay, your answers are in.
Hey, great break.
Good break. Oh, good break and great ad reads, I could only assume.
Had a really long time to write my answer in that ad break.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I love that.
And you've got it in.
Good and/or service that was just spoken about.
I support it. I personally support whatever ad that was.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, which is bold because there's a couple of rough ones.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, if I told you to join the army, I'll be right there with you. Do not stress. Buying diamonds, me too. Love sponsorships.
So question 4 is, what was notable about Samuel J. Seymour, who died in 1956?
Okay.
He coined the term, cut off me legs and call me shorty.
Great.
That turns out to be right. My God.
He was the only official casualty at the Olympics that year.
It was Olympics that year. As I kept saying.
He was the second person to climb Mount Everest after Sir Edmund Hillary. He was the last surviving person who witnessed Abraham Lincoln's assassination. Or he thought he was a SEAL and lived accordingly.
Okay. Probably not the synopsis of Tusk.
No. I'm going to go with the Abe Lincoln. When did Lincoln get shot in the head?
The 1800s.
Yeah,
I think it was 18...
Oh, I see.
I think it's 1880.
If he was but a boy, seeing Lincoln get pasted.
But also... It was there or saw it? Because hard to see.
Witnessed it.
Witnessed it.
Yeah,
but I mean, you just look over. There's a dead president.
But you don't look slumped over. He was on the balcony. Remember?
Yeah. You look up.
Yeah, but you can't.
Yeah, look.
That's
up.
Not witnessing it. That's
witnessing it.
Discovering
it. It's like being I was at Woodstock. No, you would. Yeah, I was. You can't disprove this. I reckon a lie he told everyone.
So we're
going to besmirch this good man's name.
Well, we don't know if he was good.
This liar who never even saw a president get double tapped in the back of the head.
So there was the Abe one. There was the cut off my legs and call me shorty.
Great. Yeah. That, I hope it's that too.
Or the other three.
Official casualty at the Olympics second person to climb Mount Everest.
Boring, lame.
Second person to climb Mount Everest.
Lived as a SEAL.
Yeah, it's not lived as a SEAL.
Imagine.
Did you say there's a movie called Tusk with that?
Yeah.
Directed by Kevin Smith.
A movie.
Is there really? Yeah. That's so funny.
And hey, it was a riff on a podcast and then it turned into a movie.
He lived as a walrus, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
right.
Justin Long.
Yeah.
And Michael Parks.
Yeah, and
how'd they get a movie out of that?
Kevin Smith was the person who was riffing on the podcast and he riffs and can make movies.
He has a camera.
Well, can get funding for movies. I reckon I'm going to... Okay, so I'm going to lock in Mount Everest because there's a lot of information there, but it's still succinct, so it sounds right. Because they've thrown the other name in there.
Right.
That's my logic.
All right, well, shall we go through who wrote the answers? He thought he was a seal and lived accordingly. That was the house. I've not heard of the film Tusk.
Yeah, well,
yeah, maybe,
maybe it's just an idea that people, if they podcast long enough, have.
I would never think to make a movie out of it, but now I, you know, I think my...
You'd be a fool if you had the order of the funding for it. You'd be like, oh, no.
You got to realize that my idea is entirely different. This isn't a walrus we're talking about. This is a seal.
Yeah.
Entirely different. Yeah.
Look.
Entirely different species.
I'm happy for if whoever the sponsor, well, the sponsor episode earlier, if they want to give you some funding to make this seal movie, I'll also, I'll jump in back into.
Dollar for dollar?
Dollar for dollar.
Was the only official casualty of the Olympics. That was written by Dusha. Oh, that means, oh no, hang on. He coined the term, cut off my legs and call me shorty. That was also the house. Meaning that once again, one of you is correct. You've got it right, one of you each time. The team, Joel, is doing very doing well.
It was Hang on, so is one of these is a Zanet one then?
Yes.
And he wouldn't have picked his own one, so I picked his.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Fuck.
He was the second person to climb Mount Everest. That was written by Zamet.
With a bonus name. God damn it.
Meaning the correct answer is he was the last surviving person who witnessed Abraham Lincoln's assassination. So double points to Zamet there.
Yes.
You were taking the house.
Take that house.
No points to Dusha. No points to the house.
Yes.
Do you need a quick score update there, Zamet?
Yeah.
I don't. I'm not listening.
So we got Dusha on 1 point, the house on 3 points, but out in front, it's Zamet on 4 points.
Yes. That's great that it's so notable that this, like, and I'm calling him a liar because he didn't see it.
Yeah. It was on a, but you might have heard it.
He might have heard it. Didn't see it. Yeah. Oh, that means you got to hear the, or did you reckon he heard the, something Rex or whatever the. Imperious Rex! Yeah. Like the thing that, what, Namor yells?
Wow.
What? Yeah, Imperious Rex.
Imperious Rex! Is that what Namor's going to say? Hang on, the Atlantean?
Imperious Rex is the... isn't that the dinosaur they make in Jurassic World?
Indominus Rex?
Yeah. I think that's what the guy yelled.
Oh, God, Indominus Rex! Bang, bang! Your kids are going to love it!
All right, so we've got question number five now, coming from Steve Kayser from Sydney, Ohio, God's country itself. And Steve wrote the question... Which of these is the real name of a species of rodent?
Oh.
Which of these is the real name of a species of rodent? So you're just going to make up a rodent name. And while you're writing your answers, here's some more info on Samuel J. Seymour. According to Caroline, Samuel Seymour was just 5 years old when he attended the theatre with his nurse and godmother sitting in the balcony across from President Lincoln. When John Wilkes Booth jumped...
So he did see it.
But it sounds like he was confused, though, because when John Wilkes Booth... He didn't put it together that it was a murder. He's just like commotion.
Yeah.
And then he saw John Wilkes Booth jumping from the balcony to the stage, and the young Samuel was worried about him because he hurt himself.
Oh, yeah, he broke his leg.
Yeah, so he's like, oh, no, that poor man. No.
Oh, man, that poor president assassin, he hurt his leg.
2 months before Samuel's death, he appeared on the television show I've Got a Secret, which you can watch on YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've got a
secret.
See
for yourself if you think he's lying.
Yeah, he's got a secret. It's a lie that he told all his friends.
Yeah.
There's some sweet props. He's like, he probably got big every time he told it. Last time he's like, oh yeah, some of the president's blood got on my shirt.
I killed Abraham Lincoln.
I did with my own gun.
Then I pushed John Wilkes Booth off and I laughed when he broke his leg.
Yeah, I yelled.
I broke his leg too.
I yelled Indominus Rex.
I had all the ideas for Jurassic World, and I killed the president.
And framed that poor John Wilkes.
All right. So your answers are in for question number five.
Oh, yeah.
The question is, which of these is the real name of a species of rodent?
Mm-hmm.
Bucktooth Scallywag.
Great name.
Hopping Moose Rat.
Ooh, that's good too.
Jackson Bailey, the Marmoset and Forget, or Whistle Pig?
Whistle Pig! Lucky Whistle Pig!
Jackson Bailey, for listeners who Having been a guest on this show a few times before, and I don't think I realised he was a species of rodent.
He is famously a rat. He is a rat. Look, that could be the house. That could be either of us. It's hard to say who put that there.
Could have been Jackson texting in.
But Zami, you're locking in Whistle Pig?
Oh, yeah.
What was the first one?
Bucktooth Scallywag.
I reckon I'm locking that in.
That's also
right. Rats are buck teeth.
Yeah. So what are the other ones? So Bucktooth.
Bucktooth Scallywag, Hopping Moose Rat, Jackson Bailey, The Marmoset and Forget, or Whistle Pig.
Yeah, Whistle Pig.
The only one that I think it might be, if it's not one of the two we just picked, was the second one, the one that has rat in its name.
Yeah.
But then I feel like that isn't like a name of a road. Yeah.
A whistle pig.
I'm overthinking it again.
You got to think which one made you laugh the most. Whistle pig.
Well, I can't pick my own answer.
Yeah.
Apparently that's against the rules because it breaks the point system.
All three of us lock in Jackson Bailey.
The house locks it in too. Good answer. Being cruel to a friend that's not here nor listening.
Can't defend himself. I don't
even know
boy.
About it.
So are you going to stick with Bucktooth Scallywag?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Bucktooth Scallywag. All right,
let's go through who wrote the answers. Jackson Bailey. Mm-hmm. That was written by Dusha.
Oh, great answer.
Bailey written with all capitals. Yeah, and then a follow-up message saying those capitals were a mistake.
I was worried you were going to say Jackson Bailey.
Did your phone autocorrect his
all caps Bailey?
That's so funny because my phone autocorrects Jackson all caps and I don't know why.
I think my phone autocorrects Jackson to Jackson with an M because I make fun of him because once when we did a podcast conference, he got his name badge and it said Jackson. And we were like, I reckon you have misspelled your own name.
Did you just say you went to a podcast conference?
Yeah. It was bad.
What happened to the shame you were talking about before?
This was early. I was in Sydney. The ABC ran it. It was real bad.
Yeah. This was a very brief window, like the smallest window of time of like, maybe podcasts are not shameful in other future. And then that conference happened.
Oh, very shameful.
Yeah, it was
bad. Everything really, like, really cemented how shameful it was. I was like, I don't want to be associated with any of this.
Yeah, except, the best thing to come out of it was Jackson walking around with a lanyard that just said Jackson.
That is good fun.
This is great. Someone being that, but he's like, maybe he's just handwriting. Maybe it was like, if it wasn't typed up, it was handwriting. Or maybe someone looking at that being like, oh, clearly they messed up. Now, are they going to go with Jackson, a name?
Yeah, should we double check it?
No one's ever been called that. Let's go with Jackson.
I need to imagine Googling Jackson Bailey and Jackson Bailey and being like, some of his socials do say Jackson.
So Jackson Bailey was written by Dusha. We had The Marmoset and Forget. That was The House.
Mm-hmm.
The Hopping Moose Rat. That was Zammit. I thought that was, you almost had him.
I almost had him. Maybe I went like Hopping Moose, like, I don't know, rodent or like something else.
Nah, if there was rodent hopping in moose one, mouse? I would have been like, that's too obviously one of us.
Instead, Dusha went for Bucktooth Scallywag, which was written by The House.
Whistle Pig!
And Whistle Pig is correct.
Whistle Pig, never bet against Whistle Pig.
Never bet against Whistle Pig.
Whistle Pig always wins.
Ah, damn, Whistle Pig rules. Yeah, good time.
Means the scores are now Dusha on 1 point, House on 4 points, but out in front still. On 5 points, it's Zammit. And we've only got 2 questions left.
That's all right. Oof. I'm happy to chase my losses. They can't run forever.
That's true. I got out of there. As soon as there is it out, I'm like, that one's a funny dad. Lock it in. That's it. And you're like, you dilly dally. You do your thing.
I'm doing something that I know that I'm allowed to do, but I'm just forgetting. Is like, I can pick the same answer as you.
Yeah.
I just have not been doing that.
In fact, the way that he keeps getting it right, you really should be doing that.
I should have learned my lesson.
You'll never catch up with that strategy, though. That's true. All right, so question 6 is by Grace from New Zealand. The question is, what strange event happened on the 25th of September, 1820, in Salem, New Jersey?
1820.
What strange event happened on the 25th of September, 1820, in Salem, New Jersey? While you're writing those answers, let me tell you a little bit more about whistle pigs. They go by a bunch of different names. According to Wiki, these include probably more common names, but less fun names like groundhog, chuck, woodshock, ground pig, whistler, thickwood badger, Canada marmot, monax, moonak, weenusk, red monk, land beaver, and siflow. And I think, there's a range of goodness in there, but to me, whistle pig is the pick of the bunch. What's your favorite of those, Samet?
I wasn't really paying attention.
So you had groundhog, chuck, woodchuck, ground pig, whistler, thickwood badger, Canada marmot, monax, moonak, weenusk, red monk, land beaver, or siflau.
I like the ground pig.
Yeah, ground pig.
I'm going to jump in. I know it wasn't directed at me, but wiener or whatever. Yeah, wiener.
Weenusk. Yeah.
Weenusk.
Yeah,
weenusk.
Oh, weenusk.
Hey, you're a little weenusk.
And would you put that at a whistle pig, though? No. Whistle pig's pretty great.
I like weenusk better.
Okay.
I like whistle pig.
Because it sounds like you're like calling someone a wiener, but then adding a bit of flair. Yeah. You fucking weenusk.
You add in a bit of wiener, putting a bit of nuss in there.
Yeah, it's all good. Nuss. And there's like a kick at the end of the
lovely. Yeah, it's that kind of like.
Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Words can be fun. I hope that's what your listeners take away from today.
I think they.
Yeah,
I
words really can be fun. And learning can also be fun.
Yeah.
Entertainment has its place in society. Mm-hmm. You would obviously call this podcast edutainment.
Can I use that in the description of the show?
Absolutely.
Yeah. The only podcast where you can be entertained whilst getting an education.
Mm. Ours is the opposite. Yeah. Whatever the opposite of education is.
Yeah, you're sucking knowledge out of the brains.
Yeah. That speech in Billy Madison about collectively making the entire audience dumber, that's pretty much our mission statement.
Yeah.
And you achieve it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so your answers are in for question number 6. What strange event happened on September 25, 1820 in Salem, New Jersey? An unexplained fire in the town hall that only destroyed 4 books, all about witchcraft. At the annual Salem horse race, a man flippantly said, "If the favorite doesn't win, I'll eat my hat." The following day, he was then made to eat his hat in the town square.
I would have locked that one in so bad.
These others better be better.
Tomatoes were put on trial because they were believed to be poisonous.
Arresting tomatoes is good.
Because there was this thing with tomatoes were at one point were considered poisonous because people would use them on plates, and the plates had like arsenic or like lead or something on it, and the acid in tomatoes would often set it off, and people would eat it and think that the tomatoes were poisonous. That's a maybe.
And aren't they also like from the nightshade family?
Most things are from the nightshade family. Okay, so great. Are potatoes.
Humans are 98% nightshade.
Yeah, nightshade. You wouldn't believe it.
And the hat one, that has definitely happened, but I don't know if this is the time it happened.
Yeah.
I mean, Werner Herzog famously ate his own boot.
Yeah, that's true.
That was good, yeah.
That's amazing.
He's
man of his word.
He was like, if this movie ever gets released, I'll eat my own boot. And then and then he ate his own boot.
And this is the 1800s when, look, putting things on trial that aren't humans is a very big thing.
We had one quite a few episodes back where the French put pigs on trial. The monkey one as well. The English had a trial about thinking the monkey was a Frenchman.
Yeah. The heart pull.
I went to
heart hangers?
Yeah, and then people call them the monkey hangers.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I forget. I said it wrong.
It's
written like Hartlepool, but I think it's Hartlepool or something. Yeah. And English people hate it when you get it wrong.
I have
a bad feeling that I just got it wrong then.
Yeah, that's all right.
It's Worcestershire.
And one thing I don't understand about London is that they call all of their trains the tube.
I don't get it.
Only some of them look like
only
tubes.
Only some of them go into like what is in essence a tube.
Every time we're in the UK, people are like, don't call it a train, call it a tube.
Yeah.
Every single train is a tube.
I'm late for the train. They're like, up, 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 up. No, thank you. It's late for the tube.
You know, I think it is Hartlepool.
Hartlepool.
Mm. I went there and there's statues and stuff of monkeys, and their local maybe football team, the mascot is called Hangus the Monkey because they hanged the monkey.
Yeah, they did.
So it's like Angus with H'apostrophe Angus.
That poor chimp. That last, what is going on?
I'm in silly little clothes and, oh no, my neck.
putting a rug. Maybe I'll get to climb this. Okay.
Wild story. If true, I think there's doubt that
there
it's even
true. There is some doubt, but let's
anyway, we're not even through the options, so do I need to go back? So we had the library fire.
Yeah.
4 books were burned, all about witchcraft. Yeah, then we had the horse race where the man was forced to eat his own hat.
So good.
We had the tomatoes being put on trial.
Maybe.
Then we had lightning struck the Salem church 3 times in a single storm, panicking the locals about the wrath of God.
Yeah, okay.
or Gregory Grimnose.
Oh my God.
Oh, come
you
on.
You can't be you saving can't. Gregory Grimnose for the last
you
one.
You can't have great answers for every single one of them. Okay. Gregory Grimnose.
Tell us about Gregory. Old Greg.
Yeah,
Greg,
what did Greg do?
He gathered a large crowd by telling them he had invented a way for humans to fly. He stood in front of the townspeople and without moving said, "See, I just did it. And if you didn't see it, it's because I did it real quick." The confused crowd politely clapped before dispersing.
I really took the wind out of my sails. Boy, that's such a great name.
But the best story about a guy flying is the guy who proved that he could fly, but in the same process killed himself by jumping off the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, yeah, in his little parachute.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, the parachute suit.
Yeah. It worked briefly.
Very briefly. Mm. The hubris. Chuck, like, I don't know, a dummy down first. No, no, no.
No, 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 no.
No, no, no.
I love that sort of belief, though.
I know. I wish I had that kind of amount of confidence, you know.
Dusha, do you want to jump in here?
Yeah, I'm going to jump in with, I reckon farmers would have been put on trial, not the tomatoes. I'm going to jump in guy eating his own hat.
I'm going to go with tomatoes, because that's great.
All right, that was kind
of... Again, one of these hopefully is true and we can be happy about
it. Yeah, yeah, I was thinking he's going to be eating his own hat. That's Salem, though, seems kind of strange for it to be like, the horse race?
Horse racing has existed for a long time.
Yeah, 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 but did they... I mean, you could have, I guess, a horse race wherever.
Yeah.
Seeing a foot of a field, paddock.
Well, let's go through who wrote the answers. Gregory Grimnose, who... had a an underwhelming story. That was written by The House.
Yeah.
Well, I'm shocked.
Yeah, that was in the first half.
Which part of The House wrote that one, Matt?
Oh, that was this part of The House, my friend. So, Zammit, that really cut deep when you shot on it. Lightning struck the Salem church. That was Dusha.
See, I think of that one, but I'm like, it's too much like Back to the Future.
Right.
I didn't even think about that.
When the people of Twin Pines or whatever all or started fearing pines. The wrath of God.
Yeah.
The unexplained fire in the town hall that only destroyed the four witchcraft books. That was Zammit.
Not choosing each other is good.
Yeah, that's...
We're like oh, that's
so that means
bullshit.
One of the...
One of it, once house, again, one of you is
house,
correct.
One's correct. Which means that one of these awesome stories is true.
This is good news for anyone, really. Who wins the listener?
Yeah, the history. The history books win with this one.
The man who ate his own hat, that was written by The House. meaning that tomatoes were put on trial.
Yes.
They found guilty?
They were. They should have been.
I'll tell you in a second how it went, but that means 1 point for Zammit, 1 point.
This is very funny.
For The House.
For The House.
You just keep happening.
Yeah.
We are up to the final question now. We'll do a quick score update. We've got Dusha on 1 point, The House on 5 points, but out front at Zammit on six. Occasionally, people do go for triple points in the final round. It's up to you two if you want to do it
I'll
or not.
I'll take it.
Triple points.
The only thing is, I don't think triple points will help me here.
You'd have to get maximum points.
Yeah. Let's do it. Maximum points.
Sure, why not?
All right, so...
You could get a lot of points.
Well, last time we played, Jackson was in the lead. We ran triple points, and he got maximum points, blowing out his lead even further. All right, so question seven is... it comes from Tanya M. from Ride in New South Wales.
I feel we're both going to pick The House, and this is going to skyrocket. The house is out in front.
The question is, we always finish with some sort of a synopsis question.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this one is, what's the synopsis for the 1973 film Schlock? What's the synopsis for the 1973 film Schlock?
Schlock.
While your answers are being written, here is some more information about the tomato trial. According to listfirst.com, in the early 1800s, tomatoes were put on trial in Salem, New Jersey, because they were believed to be poisonous. Back then, the tomato was thought to be a sinful food due to its ability to act as a mild aphrodisiac.
Ooh.
The tomato trial commenced in 1820, with only one person in Salem refusing to believe that the fruit was guilty of being poisonous. Colonel Robert Gibbon Johnson introduced tomato-growing competitions to coax residents to be less afraid of the fruit, but they wouldn't bite. Johnson also ate tomatoes on a regular basis, and the general public thought him insane. Feeling annoyed by the trial and the unnecessary fear caused by tomatoes, Johnson walked to the front of the courthouse carrying a basket filled with them. He proceeded to eat all the tomatoes in full view of the crowd gathered there. Contrary to expectation, he didn't keel over and die on the spot. This led to the exoneration of the humble tomato. Eventually, it was grown in millions of gardens around the world and served with a multitude of meals on a daily basis. What a happy ending for the tomato.
Yeah, you proud of yourself? I'm proud of mine. Whatever the best one is, that's mine, so don't pick it.
Yeah.
And if there's a bad one,
you better believe
it. That's probably the right answer. Triple points, maximum points. Let's go.
That's right. So the question is, what's the synopsis for the 1973 film Schlock? A small town is terrorized by the banana killer, which turns out to be the missing link between man and ape.
Great.
That's awesome. Feel like that synopsis gives you a bit too much, but it is a 73 synopsis. Mm-hmm. Often synopsises of old films are just like, here's the whole fucking movie.
Yeah, have a good time watching it.
Can't remember I picked up a DVD cover recently. I was like, what's this movie about? And then it had the synopsis, and then it was like, famous for its thrilling final scene where this happens. And I was like,
well, all right,
DVD case. You know, back on the shelf.
Okay. Spoil everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so banana killers. Yeah, all right.
Option two.
Banana killers and the missing link. That's a lot. There's a lot going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the classic stories of Sherlock Holmes, a disfigured man, outcast by the townsfolk who lives in the sewers, must do his best to clear his name of several gruesome murders.
Was Sherlock Holmes in... Yeah, I understand schlock there. Or Sherlock Holmes free of copyright at that point, because there is no way that that's an official adaptation.
Well, obviously not.
73, I reckon that's too early. I reckon that's...
Wait, when was it? Conan? Arthur Conan Doyle wrote it in the... He believed in fairies. That's a thing I know about him. The stupid boy who was like, I'm going to write about the world's greatest detective and believe in fairies.
Yeah, he was also like, I hate my detective character. He's going to fall off a cliff into a waterfall with his greatest nemesis. I make less money now that I don't write these, so he's back.
Yeah, when did copyright really come into play? It was with Disney.
It was 100 or 99 years, and now Disney are like...
It wasn't 99, it was a death of the author. Then...
Oh, I went to the House of the Estate, or is that a new thing?
I think that's I don't know. I know Disney really just... Anyway.
Option three, the International Linguistics Convention is thrown into disarray after a fight breaks out over the best slang term for penis. Option four.
That is awesome, but that's not a 70s movie. No. That would be like a 2013 movie.
So schlock, I'm like trying to think of where does schlock fit into, like, well, obviously for that one.
Well, because schlocky.
But for the ape schlock?
Well, because if it's a schlocky film and it's self-aware.
Maybe.
Then you've got option four, a down on his luck private detective is hired to investigate the murder of an adult film producer after the unexpected success of his newest film.
Oh, that's a maybe.
That's a schlocky. Because porno is a schlocky.
Yeah.
And 73.
Yeah, it's like, hide a pornos.
And finally, a Sherlock Holmes spoof.
Pornos! Sherlock Holmes calm.
Spoof.
All right.
Sherlock Holmes is everything Sherlock is not. He's no good at observation, deduction, forensic science, or logical reasoning. But also, he's not a cocaine-addicted asshole.
Oh, maybe not.
No,
but the question remains... Can he solve the case?
You had me, you lost me. You had me in the first half, lost me in the second half. I'm going to lock in the one before that.
The down on his luck private detective hired to investigate the murder on the adult film
producer. That one.
For Zammit, what are you thinking, douche?
There's two Sherlock ones, but one of them is clearly written by the listener because it isn't the house in the house words.
The house, So I was thinking like the last one. I was like, well, that one sounds, nah.
Cocaine arsehole.
Yeah, nah, thank you.
Missing link, because that would be a schlocky horror movie.
To me, that seems like we're calling it schlock, though. But I guess if it is a horror,
But missing, I've just...
See, a schlock.
I'm trying to think of, like, what movies I've seen in the 70s and how... There's a movie called Altered States where a man takes so many mushrooms he turns into a werewolf.
Oh, yeah. So, okay.
But that movie's, like, a little bit later than that. Yeah. Everyone was like, that's crazy.
I was thinking, like,
a
lot of, like, the schlock, you kind of got that,
Can I get the first Sherlock Holmes one again, please?
Based on the classic stories of Sherlock Holmes, a disfigured man, outcast by the townsfolk who lives in the sewers, must do his best to clear his name of several gruesome murders.
Because this is like 4 years before Star Wars. Yeah. Are we trying something so bold? So, missing link between apes and man is doing murders.
Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes lives in a sewer.
Everyone's like, murders. Me and you have been like, murders. Listeners like, murders.
Porno guy gets murdered.
Yeah.
Donald's like, that one sounds real too.
The linguistic convention.
Yeah.
No. Slang term for penis?
No, no, we're not considering that one.
Well, you're not considering anything, Sammy. You've locked your answer in.
Sure we have.
So this, it's,
it just feels like now you're trying to guide him towards your answer.
No, I just, I'm mocking either the house or the listener.
Being funny, I'm like,
or the real person, or douche's answer about the penis.
I'm like, oh yeah, that is a shitty answer, Joel Sammy. All right, I'm going to lock in the first Sherlock Holmes one, the one where he lives in a sewer.
All right, locking that in. And you two are having a go at how people are writing answers. Oh. You got to understand, it's not all. Not everyone plays the game as boring as you do. Some people play to have fun.
That's
true. I did write that Jackson Bailey was a rat earlier.
I also play for fun.
It's weird. How, normally, I shouldn't have two nerds on at once because.
Whoa. Lovely.
The balance is all out of whack. No one's here having fun. You're taking it too seriously.
Well, I would say that one of us made the mission statement that we're here to have fun and to lose, and they're doing a bad job.
Oh, yeah.
You're both doing a bad job of what you're here to do.
I'm having fun. I didn't want to.
All right, let's go through who wrote the answers and find out who won this thing. Remember,
we start with the cocaine arsehole one. Can you tell us who wrote that one?
Triple
first?
Points. I can't start with that one. I would. But, you know, then
that's the real one.
That's the real one. Answer, so. No. The Sherlock Holmes spoof.
Yeah.
That was written by the House.
Wait, what? Oh, house, no, the spoof. House? That's the.
That's the cocaine
house,
addicted
house. Or was that House Listener?
House Listener or House?
No, that was me.
Oh, no. Oh, wow. To his face. You picked up that shovel and you buried him.
But don't worry. You also had a go at Tanya writing for the House who wrote the International Linguistics Convention.
We sure we did.
Tanya, big fan of you subscribing to the Patreon, but yeah, your answer skills need work.
Yeah, well,
and in Tanya's, I'm picking them.
Yeah,
that's true.
I'm just trying to, you know, we're just trying to have fun.
We are.
Well, everyone apart from the Joels, apparently.
Yeah. We're having our own kind of fun.
Bursting it's a little through mean. The game. Game's pulling at the seams of the game. Listeners think they're listening to this podcast and they're safe.
The down on his luck private detective. This is one that Zamet chose. That was Dusha. So that means Dusha. If you got the correct answer,
so the porno
you win
one.
The whole thing.
You did the porno
I
one.
I did the porno one.
Okay, all right.
I'm always
right.
thinking pornos. That should have been an easy one.
Yeah, but it's good.
Yeah, I know.
Pornos are good.
And also because I was like, oh, Deep Throat came out around there. So
that's what I was thinking. Like a bit schlocky. Thinking of 70s Bush.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bring it back. Yeah,
so right. Dusha. Mm-hmm. If you select you, there's two.
There's two answers.
Options.
What are the two options again? We've got the
banana killer,
or
the other Sherlock Holmes one. And if Dusha's got this right, he wins the whole game.
He does.
I'm
kind of out of the gate there.
I think that if one of the Sherlock Holmes ones was the house, that means that Zamet was the other one. I think I fucked this.
That is correct.
Yep.
The correct answer was a small town is terrorized by the banana killer, which turns out to be the missing link between man and ape.
That's so.
So that's three
crazy.
Points to Zamet, 3 points to Dusha. I'll tabulate the scores.
All right.
And while we're doing that, here's a little bit more information about schlock.
Oh, well, that's what I was about to look up. So you're helping me out here.
John Landis wrote, directed, and starred as the titular schlock. According to Wiki, Landis could not find a distributor interested in releasing the film until 1972 when it came to the attention of Johnny Carson. Carson loved the film and booked Landis as a guest on The Tonight Show where clips were shown. It subsequently got released theatrically in the United States by Jack H. Arris Enterprises. It opened in Hollywood in March 1973 and in West Germany on 17th of September 1982, so long
it's
after.
John Landis's first film.
The film eventually became a minor hit and helped pave the way for the careers of both John Landis and Rick Baker.
Oh, Rick Baker.
Landis has described the film as terrible, but it holds a 71% score on Rotten Tomatoes.
And only a 5.6 rating on IMDb.
It's a 70s, like, low-budget horror film. The pacing of it would be slow.
All right, so let's go to check the scores. In third place, on 4 points, we have Dusha.
Oh.
In second place, on 5 points, it's The House. But out in front, on 9 points, God damn it, it's Zamet.
What up?
Thank Congratulations. Thank you. We both lost today because I wanted to win. You wanted to lose. You won. I lost.
Oh, but I did have fun, though.
Does this prove forever that Zamet is the superior Joel?
I guess so.
Look, it's up to listeners to decide. It does seem wrong.
Yeah, no, that's
true. Hey, I love coming on this podcast.
Last time around, Zammit also beat you, Dusha.
Yeah.
Can I give some of my points to him so we can even this out?
You feel a bit guilty about it?
It's better when we're on an even playing field.
Who's the worst performing guest on the podcast? Because I reckon I would be close.
I think it's the house. Oh, you mean guest?
Yeah. Because
I have multiple appearances.
You'd be down there.
I'd be bottom three.
Saran Jayaman is the worst. He struggled. The first time he didn't score a point. Yeah. Second time he scored 1 point.
Yeah. You're improving, Saran. Yeah. That's good.
Wow.
Third time I think he did score 2 points.
Oh, that's something.
3 appearances though. That's all right.
Mm. Yeah.
With an average of what's that?
One.
All right. Where can people find you two if they want to? And I assume they would want to.
I hope so.
So we're part of the Sandspants Radio Network, but that's an entire network of podcasts. Mm-hmm. So if you want to narrow it down, we're both on Plumbing the Death Star. Mm-hmm. We're both on Baseless Speculation, which isn't a Sandspants Radio Network.
It's part of Wood Elf.
Yeah, Wood Elf Media, which is an American company.
Yep.
Yeah, we've branched out. Those two were on together. Yeah. Sister one of those. Or both.
Yeah.
So that was Plumbing the Death Star on the Sandspants Radio Network or Baseless Speculation on the Wood Elf Media Network.
Both also features famous rat boy Jackson Bailey.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's a sack of shit. What a man. Listen to the podcast anyway. Yeah.
What a guy. He's a great guy.
Well, if he was such a great guy, Matt, he'd be here and not climbing a mountain currently.
That's true.
By climbing a mountain, I mean walking up a hill. He's on a hike. Don't get too excited about what he's doing.
We're going to be doing a live show in Melbourne of this podcast at the European Beer Cafe on the 9th of April, Easter Sunday at 2 p.m. in the Arvo, and you can grab tickets now.
Mm. And listeners, I was at one of the live shows. Let me tell you, they're a lot of fun. The one I was at got deranged pretty much straight off the bat, so you definitely worth coming down. Check it out. Mm-hmm. This is first-hand experience.
Yeah.
I'm not part of the live show. I don't need to say this.
Yeah, no.
Matt's already done the plug.
Yeah.
But I just want you to know, listeners, you should go.
Rock up with like a packet of hot cross buns, sit in the front row, and munch down on them while you enjoy some pure edutainment.
Oh, yeah. You going sultanas or no sultanas?
No sultanas.
Yeah? I could go either way, but yeah. Yeah. I just love a hot cross.
Yeah, good. I'm glad that we've started having them all year round.
Yeah. I agree. People complain about it. They just don't.
Oh, sick day. Don't put out the hot cross buns. No.
Put them out earlier.
Yes. Agreed.
They're good.
Yeah. As soon as we get Christmas carols in around about mid-October, we should also be getting hot cross buns. Yeah.
Oh, no, we should still have hot cross buns.
Correct. Don't stop.
Well, Australia's leaning more and more into Halloween. Hot cross buns feel like they could be a Halloween thing as well.
Yeah. Jesus died for your spooky sins.
If you turn them upside down, it's more of a spooky cross.
Inverted hot cross buns.
Yeah.
That's a million-dollar idea.
Yeah, okay.
Cut this from the podcast.
Yeah, we call them the devil's buns.
Oh,
I do like that very much. I'm also doing a stand-up show at the Comedy Festival in the Adelaide Fringe called Ding. And you can find details about all this stuff at mattstewartcomedy.com. And thanks so much for listening. Thanks to the Joels for joining us.
No problem. Anytime. I will win one day.
You will. I believe in you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. I honestly believe that.
I'm getting better.
Yeah.
I think.
Please, listeners, if you want, help get the word out about the show. Tell your friends. Give us a 5-star review if you like. And cheers.
No. Just give a 5-star review. Even if you don't like it, mate, I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
5 stars.
All right.
Okay?
Use your words to express any criticisms, but just make sure that it's 5 stars.
5 stars. I hated this podcast. 5 stars. Why do they always yell over each other? 5 stars.
I only read the 5 stars. So if you want to get your criticism through, do it via a 5-star.
Exactly.
That's a direct line.
It's the line to the podcast.
Cheers for tuning in to Who Knew with Matt Stewart. Now that you know it, I've been Matt Stewart. Goodbye.
Bye.
Good stuff.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.